Ah, that was Robert Plant. He is my all-time music hero, God. Music hero and God. So I wanted to hear that before I started this podcast to put me in the mood for today's topic. So, which is, if you're just picking up, we're working on a series, pretty much about smashing the barriers to self-care. And so today's topic is low self-worth. Hi everybody, it's Wendy, and I'm super happy that you're here. We've got a lot to talk about today, so I'm gonna start rolling right away. And this is the next reason that I could come up with. Like time and energy and money, this one, on self-worth, has a very real problematic aspect to it. Because if you think about it, if we don't believe in ourselves, why would we invest anything in ourselves or our lives or our futures? Yet, unless we invest in ourselves and take care of ourselves, how can we ever believe that we're worthy? Today is about self-worth. And the first thing is, let's address the difference between self-esteem and self-worth. I was poking around on the internet doing a little research, and a lot of people use these two terms synonymously, but I think that there are a couple important differences I wanted to point out. And we'll start with self-esteem. Self-esteem has to do with our thinking well of ourselves. It's sort of more akin to self-respect. And we can have esteem or a high regard for anything or anyone outside of ourselves. And when we're having that regard, high regard, or experiencing that high regard for something, including ourselves, it's in the present moment. But self-worth, on the other hand, comes from inside of us. It's a belief and having the faith to believe that we matter, that our lives matter, just for the mere fact that we're human beings. We matter. And we're here on this planet together, and everybody has a beating heart. And so, we all matter just based on that. But how do you feel about yourself? That self-worth is essentially, though, a portal or a lens. I think of it as a lens through which self-esteem can be received. So, really, it all starts with self-worth. So, and self-worth also starts at a very young age with the messages that we get. I'd say the messages that we kind of glom onto, the messages that we interpret, and sometimes the very real direct messages that we get from our, quote unquote, everybody, the important people around us that we grow up with, and have an influence on our lives. We begin to believe those messages, and we in fact, the messages are sometimes subtle. They're so subtle that we might not even be aware that we're carrying this story, the same story around with us from childhood into this day, that we aren't enough and that we are not good enough or that we don't measure up. So, do you ever have the sense that you're sabotaging yourself or all the goodness in your life? I think that's a really big, important indicator of low self-worth. And another example is that you love to pour all of your time and resources into other people, but you rarely do nice things for yourself. And the underlying message is that I'm not deserving of this, but other people are. So, and of course, self-worth lies on a continuum. We all have varying degrees of it depending on our thinking and depending on whether our thinking is unchecked or not, or checked or not. whether we're aware of our stories or not, and how much awareness we have of those stories or not, we cannot have much self-worth if we don't believe we're deserving human beings, right? That means that the self-worth that we do have, if we have low self-worth, the self-worth that we do gain comes from, is that a product of our work, hard work, and growth and effort, you know? It doesn't just appear as we get older. So low self-worth in, you know, my coaching practice, where I help women, you know, ready themselves for their true love relationship, low self-worth is the basis for all dysfunctional relationships. Because if you think about it, how can we have a healthy relationship with anyone, including friendships and work and relationships with our children? How can we do that if we don't feel valuable or worthwhile, or if we feel ashamed from not feeling good enough about ourselves? It's just not really possible. It's the sort of it's the foundation. And it's also the first thing that we address together in coaching. And you might be wondering, well, how? So how do we work on low self-worth? Well, the first thing is that we have to uncover and discover and become aware and grow the awareness, and then begin to retell some of those childhood stories. You know, if we want to feel worthy, we have to do esteemable things. In other words, we have to do self-respecting things, right? We have to stay in action on this point on a daily basis. It's like this is the new foundation for self-care, growing self-worth. And it can actually happen pretty rapidly, you know, if the focus remains true to that. So like we started out this talk, the dilemma is, if we want self-worth, we have to build our faith muscle, believing that we're valuable and deserving and trustworthy and reliable and respectable. And then we have to behave in those ways. That's how we can start to build self-worth. You know, for women who are aware that they dislike themselves, or they have this experience of self-loathing, I'm here to tell you that the reason you are hating on yourself is not because you're not a good person or not a worthy person. It's that you're repeating and telling yourself the same old painful stories and lies that you brought with you from childhood. So that's the good news, I think, you know. And I think that's also what coaching is. I'm sort of like a firm, gentle, personal guide for navigating that process. Okay, so for this next moment, I want you to really try to pause. I'll give you a minute, too, of dead air, just to really kind of imagine this for a moment for me and see what pops up. And I'd love to hear what pops up in the comments for this podcast if you're interested in sharing. If you are aware of self-loathing or a tendency to not like yourself or feel unworthy or like not enough, just really listen to this question and think about your answer. Okay, what would it be like if you didn't feel self-loathing? You could not feel self-loathing anymore. Who would you be without that? How would your life be different? How would all aspects of your life change? Do you believe this is possible? Okay, So now I want to ask you another willingness question. Are you willing to consider that many, many people, many women, many other women have gone through coaching with me and they have been able to stop this cycle of self-loathing? They were able to transform their lives just like I did. And if you're answering me with a yes, why? Why can't you have what the rest of us have achieved? Why are you different? When I first got to AA, my first sponsor told me to follow directions. And of course, I, being a little bit of a rebel, not intentional rebel, I resisted. But she told me this, and I really bought into it. Because if you can imagine that, so she said that she believed in the power and the magic of millions and millions of women just like us who thought that they would never ever be able to find their way to a healthy life again in recovery. And all of those women that had gone before me, in other words, had gotten sober and were living healthy, happy lives, they figured it out before me. So I kind of had to believe that if millions of women, you know, some were better off, some were worse off, and some were far worse off than me, if they could all do it, there was no reason I could come up with that I shouldn't be able to do it too. So I'm offering that question to you, that invitation to you. If other people could do it and you don't believe that you could, why not? Okay, so what has worked? You know, what have you tried to do to improve your self-worth if you're aware of your, let's call it an imbalance. You know, how many years have gone by? How many relationships have you said goodbye to? How much has your low self-worth cost you in energy, in time, in money, on the job, like not getting promoted, not feeling even brave enough to go for a job? Like, my first true calling was to become a paramedic, and I wasn't brave enough at that time in my life. I didn't think that I could do it. I thought I didn't measure up to what it would take to become a paramedic, so I didn't do it. And that remains, it's not really a regret, but it was a missed opportunity for sure. And I imagine how my life would be different had I been that brazen to become a paramedic. Okay, so if you had started and kept at it, like, so if you have this low, if you have this imbalance and you started, and imagine if you kept at it, once you realized you had low self-worth, where could you be now? What would, and you know, looking forward, so that's the past, but looking forward, would you want another 1, 3, or 5 years to pass you by feeling like life isn't valuable, like your life isn't valuable? You know, if that's your thought, how does that serve you? How is that serving you? I lost my place here. Sorry, folks. Oh, let's think about this one. This one's hard. This one's always hard. And it's sort of cliche, and it's so true. Isn't self-loathing in a little daughter the saddest thing in the world? Like, let me ask you, like, what wouldn't you do to show her the way to feeling worthy if you had a little daughter that was hating on herself? What wouldn't you invest in your daughter if she hated on herself, knowing that she will eventually carry all that crap into adulthood, just like the rest of us have, and have it be the basis of all of her relationships? You know, like, are you willing to treat yourself like your own little daughter? Are you willing to hold that, you know, little part of you, that sweet, innocent child part of you that didn't know any better in your childhood? Are you willing to ask for help? Are you willing to get coached around this? You know, what are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go? We can't improve these things in a vacuum. It does take courage, and it does take like an inkling of faith that you are a person who's capable of busting out from under all these lies and brutal, unloving stories about who you are. But the thing is, you get to determine who you are now that you're an adult. It is your responsibility now. And if you suffer from low self-worth and you sabotage your life and you have participated in unhealthy relationships and you do have a little daughter, you are role modeling that same self-worth and those same ideas to her. And you both deserve better than that. Okay, so are you willing to follow directions? You know, and once you've built up a healthy faith muscle and believe in your own value and worth, you know, you can then have high regard for yourself. And then you can show great respect for yourself and others. And in showing great respect for others is how we command respect for ourselves. That's how we get the respect that we want. Only by showing it to others. This is, you know, having a healthy balance of self-worth is also where healthy boundaries and the ability to set them. That's where healthy boundaries lives in, you know, healthy self-worth. This is the basis of having a healthy love relationship. So if that's your goal, to find your true love, what are you willing to throw down to get it right now? Okay, so that's my pep talk. I hope that came across as a pep talk, because that is how I mean it. I have struggled with low self-worth, and I have made substantial progress in turning that around. And it is reflected in every area of my life. It's not just one area. It's not just my relationships or my work life. It is across the board. Okay, so some books can help. Coaching helps quickly. And let's see, here are two books that I've added. I've added these books to my Amazon shop affiliate link on my website. Under inspirations. And there's two. One is called The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. And the other is Madly in Love with Me by Christine Ariello. A-R-Y-L-O. Okay, so that was a lot. I always have this experience on podcasts that I'm talking at you a lot. I've got my headphones on. I've got my microphone here. I've got my cat milling around. And I just want it to be short and digestible and to the point. And it usually turns out much longer than I had hoped. But if you like, please stay and let Robert Plant take us out. Bye.